which is the jinn. But tonight, he will talk specifically about the eye, al-ayn. And then after that, inshallah, you can ask questions. The sheikh, he preferred that tonight, inshallah, to answer all your questions, if you have questions about the topic or any other questions. So want you to pay attention to what you're going to hear, and also we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge about this deen. And also I want to mention something before the sheikh starts, that since he's been in my house, I received a lot of calls, a lot of calls from New York and from outside New York, from other states. And the telephone didn't stop ringing almost every day. And a lot of brothers who called, and even sisters too, they call and they want to have meeting, and they want to sit with the sheikh to do ruqya for them or to do hijama. And many times I find myself, I have to tell them the sheikh can't make it. Like yesterday, probably 50 or 60 people call, and all of them, they want hijama or ruqya. And you know the sheikh, he cannot do that for everybody. So I'm saying that inshallah the sheikh, he will come back to us in July, and probably he will spend the whole month with us. So if you still have any problem, you need ruqya or anything, inshallah try to call early in the month of July and make an appointment with the sheikh. This is the best thing to organize this, you know. So we have this opportunity on July. You can call. We can make an appointment with the sheikh. And I'm sorry for all those brothers who could not sit with the sheikh or have a meeting with him, asking for nasiha or for ruqya or for hijama. I apologize, because the sheikh cannot respond to everybody. So inshallah, we want your brothers to be patient and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. So now we'll let the Shaykh inshallah speak.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shurur anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina. An yahdihillahu falamudilla lah, wa man yudlil falahadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. تكلمنا أيها الإخوة في محاضرة الأمس حول موضوع الجن، ولأن موضوع الحسد والعين له علاقة بالجن والشياطين، فأحببنا أن نتمم وأن نتكلم حول هذا الموضوع. وحينما نتكلم عن الحسد يدفعنا الحديث دفعا إلى أن نتكلم عن العين، وما هي العين، وما هي حقيقتها، وما هي أضرارها، وكيف نتقيها، وكيف عالجها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نقول أيها الإخوة، الحسد في اللغة معناه القشر، ومنه الحسدل، وهو القراد الذي يقشر جلد الحيوان فيمتص دمه. فهذا أصل الحسد في اللغة، كأن الحاسد يعني يكاد الحسد أن يأكل قلبه. فوالحسد حسدان: حسد بمعنى الغبطة، وهو أن تتمنى لنفسك مثل ما لأخيك من غير أن تتمنى زوال النعمة عن أخيك، وهذا الحسد حسد مباح، وهذا الحسد الحسد الحلال. وعليه يحمل قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا حسد إلا في اثنتين، رجل آتاه الله القرآن فهو يقوم به أناء الليل وأطراف النهار، ورجل آتاه الله المال فهو ينفقه أو فسلطه على هلكته في الحق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهذا داخل في قول الله عز وجل: لمثل ذلك فليعمل العاملون، وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون، لأنه بمعنى التنافس والمسارع إلى الخيرات. وهذا الحسد حسد ممدوح كما ذكرنا. أما الحسد الثاني وهو موضوع بحثنا وكلامنا، فهو الحسد المذموم الذي ذمه الله عز وجل في كتابه وعلى لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما في القرآن فمنه قوله تعالى: ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا من عند أنفسهم، وقوله تعالى: أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله، وقوله تعالى: ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. فلولا أن الحسد يقع منه شر ما أمر المسلم أن يستعيذ بالله من شره ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. وأما الأحاديث فهي كثيرة وكثيرة جدا جاءت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذم الحسد والعين. من هذه الأحاديث قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: دب إليكم داء الأمم، دب إليكم داء الأمم، الحسد والبغضاء، الحسد والبغضاء، هذا هو داء الأمم الذي فتك بالأمم قديما وحديثا، وإلى أن يرث الله الأرض ومن عليها. ولا يكاد يخلو من الحسد إلا من عصمه الله عز وجل، إلا الأنبياء والصديقون، وإلا فإن الحسد داء عضال قاتل. أول من ابتلي به إبليس عليه لعنة الله، إبليس ابتلي بالحسد وهو داؤه الذي قتله، وهو داؤه الذي كان سببا في طرده من رحمة الله، فحلت عليه لعنة الله وأخرج من الجنة، وبعد أن كان من المقربين صار من المطرودين الملعونين. وذلك أن الله عز وجل حينما خلق آدم في أحسن تقويم وأمر الملائكة أن يسجدوا لآدم أبى إبليس، فكان إبليس من جملة من أمر بالسجود لآدم، أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين، وقال متعذرا متحججا بحجة واهية: يعني خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين، أأسجد لما خلقت طينا، أأسجد لمن خلقت طينا، فقال أنا خير منه. لذلك قال العلماء إن أنا وردت أهلك الثلاثة من أصناف من الناس: إبليس حينما قال أنا خير منه، قال على سبيل الكبر والخيلاء والحسد: أنا خير منه، خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. وفرعون أهلكته حينما قال أنا ربكم الأعلى، وقارون حينما قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي. فلذلك الحسد إذن داء قديم، وهو من أوائل المعاصي التي اقترفت، بل التي كانت سبب في لعن إبليس وخروجه من رحمة الله عز وجل. ثم إن أول جريمة قتل وقعت على الأرض كان دافعها ومحركها ومهيجها هو الحسد عياذا بالله. فهذا قابيل يقتل أخاه هابيل بدافع الحسد. قال الله تعالى: واتل عليهم نبأ ابني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر قال لأقتلنك. إذن الدافع أن الله تقبل قربان أحد الأخوين فنقم عليه الآخر. قال لأقتلنك أي حسدا من عند نفسه. قال إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. لئن بسطت إلي يدك لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك، إني أخاف الله رب العالمين، إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار، وذلك جزاء الظالمين. فطوعت له نفسه قتل أخيه فقتله فأصبح من الخاسرين. إذن أول جريمة قتل وقعت على الأرض كان دافعها الحسد، ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من مقتول يقتل إلا كان على ابن آدم الأول كفل من دمه، أي نصيب من دمه، وذلك أنه هو أول من سن سنة القتل، وهي سنة سيئة، ومن سن سنة سيئة فعليه وزرها ووزر من عمل بها إلى قيام الساعة. ثم انظروا ما فعل الحسد بيوسف عليه السلام. فهذا يوسف الصديق كان طفلا صغيرا، فلا وكان له إخوة كبار رجال، لما رأوا وكانوا عشرة وهم أبناء نبي، لما رأوا توجه قلب أبيهم إلى أخيهم الصغير نقموا عليه وحسدوه وألقوه في غيابة الجب. قال الله تعالى فيما حكاه عنهم: إذ قالوا ليوسف وأخوه أحب إلى أبينا منا ونحن عصبة إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين. إذن لأن أباهم أحب هذا الطفل وكان لحبه ما يبرره، فقد كان يوسف يتيما، ماتت أمه وهو صغير، وشيء طبيعي أن الأب إذا كان أحد أبنائه يتيما أن يرق إليه ويحن عليه. ورأى يعقوب من يوسف النجابة، ورأى فيه الحكمة والنبوة فأحبه. إذ قالوا ليوسف وأخوه أحب إلى أبينا منا ونحن عصبة إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين. اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخلو لكم. إذن السبب الحسد، حتى يخلو لكم، لكي يخلو لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. وأنزل الله سورة كاملة، سورة يوسف، فيها تفاصيل قصة يوسف عليه السلام، من أجل وكان كلها تدور على الحسد والبغضاء عياذا بالله. وكذلك ما فعل حساد العلماء وعلى رأسهم شيخ الإسلام تيمية، حيث أودع في السجن بسبب وشايتهم وحسدهم. فالحسد داء قديم ما يخلو منه مجتمع ولا تخلو منه أمة من الأمم. ولذلك حذرنا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم من الحسد الذي هو تمني زوال النعمة عن الآخرين، وذمه ذما شديدا. وسنتكلم عن بعض الأحاديث التي وردت في ذم الحسد، ثم نبين طرق علاجه والعين ونحو ذلك.
The Sheikh حفظه الله, he explained the meaning of al-hasad and al-ayn in Islam. So the Sheikh explained in the beginning what is al-hasad, what is the meaning of al-hasad. He said the word al-hasad has two meaning, the linguistic meaning and the shar'i, the Islamic meaning. The linguistic meaning, he said, is al-qashr, to peel. And he said that there is an animal called al-hasda. This animal is like small animal insect. When it attacks the herb or the plant, it peel the herb or the plant from its cover.
بتهاجم الحيوانات هي.
نعم.
القراد اسمها.
So this is the linguistic meaning of al-hasad, to take out, to peel. in Islam has two meaning. This is the linguistic meaning. The Islamic meaning has two meaning of al-hasad. The first one is al-ghibta, to be jealous about somebody, but without hoping and wishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove that blessing from him. So this is the first meaning. And this kind of hasad is allowed in Islam. And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين. He said jealousy should be only in two things. To somebody who has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him Quran, and you wish that you have the Quran that he has so you can recite it during the night. And he said, and the other person, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the money. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he give you the same money he has so you can spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This kind of jealousy of hasad is allowed. It's not haram. The other one which is prohibited, which is not allowed, is al-hasad bima'na al-dham. The other kind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits in the Quran. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevents the ummah to have this kind of al-hasad. Shaykh Hafidhahullah mentioned three ayats from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah that the people of the book, they wish that the Muslim return back to kufr. So this kind of hasad is prohibited. And the people who has it are the people of the book. They wish that the Muslim leave their deen, return back to ignorance, to jahiliyyah. So this hasad is prohibited. The other ayah, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Talk about the same people, the Jew people and the Christian and the Mushrikun. They have so much jealousy about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to his people, to the people. They don't want to see blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to people. They want everything for themselves. So this kind is prohibited. And also he mentioned the ayah from Surah An-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ إلى آخره. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from anyone who has jealousy, who wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the ni'mah, the blessing from you. And he mentioned the ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, دَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ الْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. The meaning of this hadith, or the translation of this hadith, that al-hasad, jealousy, and al-baghda, the hate, is two diseases that are coming, or that came from the people who were before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Christians and the Jews. These two diseases are coming from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purged them, He destroyed them, because of these two bad qualities, which is al-hasad, jealousy, and hate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does like these two things for the Muslims. And He said that few people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect from these two diseases. Few. And He mentioned al-anbiya wa siddiqoon. All the prophets and messengers and as-siddiqoon. Those people who follow these prophets and messengers. Majority of people, they have these two problems. Jealousy and hate. Because when you have jealousy about somebody, automatically, you're going to have hate toward that person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He protects only few people from this. So, as He said, we have to struggle ourselves to remove this from our hearts. And He said that al-hasad, jealousy, was the first crime in the heavens and also on earth. The first crime in humanity, in the history of the humanity, is jealousy. He mentioned the story of Iblis, alayhi la'natullah, the big shaitan, Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kicked him out from Jannah because of this jealousy. He didn't make sujood for Adam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do. All the angels, they make sujood for Adam except him. Why? Because of jealousy. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that You created me from fire and You created him from sand. I am better than him. This is jealousy. That's why the Shaykh said it was the first crime in the heavens. And this jealousy destroys three people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Iblis was the first one. Iblis was the first one. And also Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him also because of jealousy. And also Qarun. And we know his story in Surah Al-Qasas. These three people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them because of jealousy. They keep saying all the time, I. If you read the story of these people in the Quran, all of them they say I. And this is the sign of the one who has kibr and hasad, pride and jealousy. Qarun, he said, when his people tell him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend the money on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do, what he said, I was given this money because of me, myself. So this Anna destroyed all of these people, these three people, Iblis and Fir'aun and Qarun. And also, jealousy was the first crime on earth. He mentioned the story of those two brothers, Qabil and Habil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their story in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept from one of them, and he accepted from the other one, from the other brother. He accepted from him his ibadah, his qurbah, but he did not accept from the other one. So the other one, the other brother, he get jealous, and he killed his brother because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from his brother, and he did not accept from him. So look what jealousy do to people. Jealousy can lead people to kill other people. So he said, it is very dangerous crime. It's a very dangerous quality that we should struggle to remove it from ourselves. And he mentioned other ayats. Inshallah, our brother Muhammad Yasin will continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
And alhamdulillah. In continuation with the first crime on the face of the planet Earth, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed because of the deviation of those who were the first to inhabit it, were the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation meaning of the ayat, he says, we bestowed upon one of the brothers, that is one of the two brothers, Habil and Qabil, that he sacrificed for Allah to please him, and that which was more pleasing, and rejected that which was from the latter, that is the other brother. And then the Quran continued by saying, when the latter, out of his jealousy, because of that which Allah had received in good favor, killed his brother, while his brother pleaded for him as being nothing but a slave of the Lord of all worlds. So verily in the ayat of Allah, did not mention your names explicitly, but referring to Habil and Qabil, the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, verily the first crime that was apparent on this earth was the killing of one over another, that is murder, homicide, and that was done out of that initial root of all disease, and that is hasad, that is jealousy. And we have a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said, no person commits murder except that he shares except that the son of Adam shares in its sin, for verily he was the first to commit homicide. So no one after him, whoever commits another murder, act of murder, until the day of judgment, then except that brother, which is again the Qabil, who killed his brother Habil, will share in the sin of every murder because he was the first to commit murder on the face of the earth. So this is among the things that we see in the first crimes of earth developing from that very evil trait of hasad, jealousy. In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, one of the prophets of Anbiya, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see in the jealousy of his brothers, where the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation meanings, verily because the love of his father caused a division among and enmity among his brothers. The father again being Yaqub alayhi salam, who favored and loved Yusuf alayhi salam above his other brothers, and therefore caused a division among his other brothers, which was jealousy. And of course the story goes on with a whole surah, an entire surah, 12th surah of the Quran, Surah to Yusuf, describes the entire story of the very beginning to the end of the distraction and disfranchisement and the splitting of a family and brothers, and the crimes that are committed on the account of one simple seed which caused all of this, which was hasad or jealousy. And going back to the pious predecessors, we see no more an example other than in our Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, who was imprisoned numerous times, and especially at the latter part of his death, he was jailed and died in prison, only due to the fact of jealousy among his contemporaries. Not among the people, but among the scholars and those who had jealousy and hasad of the things that Allah gifted him with. And then this is an example of that. So therefore, in conclusion, at the last section, he said, verily, the Prophet ﷺ in the Sunnah taught us many ways to keep away and protect ourselves from this very, very evil trait of hasad, so that we should take very good intention to this and pay particular practice upon this ourselves to keep from that very evil which causes all of our evils of destruction from that one simple evil deed.
واليهود عليهم لعائن الله هم من أكثر الأمم والشعوب حسدا بل هم يحسدون كل صاحب نعمة وقد حسدوا هذه الأمة على نبيها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإليهم أشار الله عز وجل بقوله ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا من عند أنفسهم وإنما منعهم الحسد من الإذعان للحق واتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع أنه قد جاء في كتبهم وكانوا يتهددون ويتوعدون الأوس والخزرج بأنهم سيقتلونهم قتل عاد وثمود إذا خرج فيهم نبي آخر الزمان ظانين أن نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سيكون من بني إسرائيل ومن أبناء يعقوب فلما وجدوا أنه من أبناء إسماعيل أسقط في أيديهم وكتموا ذكره وظاهروه العداء ولم يتبعوه حسدا من عند أنفسهم والحسد أيها الإخوة يخطر ببال كل إنسان فالمؤمن يدفع هذا الحسد والمنافق عياذا بالله ينفذ هذا الحسد فقد يخطر خاطر الحسد الذي هو بمعنى الأثر وحب الذات من دون الناس فالمؤمن يدفعه والمنافق يثبته بقوله وفعله وقلبه ولذلك جاء في الأثر المؤمن يغبط والمنافق يحسد ذم الشرع شرعنا الحنيف الحسد ذما شديدا وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا الحسد قد يزداد في نفس صاحبه حتى يتحول إلى عين خبيثة فالعين الخبيثة تؤذي وقد تؤدي إلى قتل المعيون أي المحسود والعين قد اختلف العلماء في حقيقتها فقال بعض العلماء إن العين تنتج عن نفس خبيثة حينما تتكيف بكيفية خبيثة فتنظر إلى ما يعجبها دون ذكر اسم الله عز وجل فيصاب المعيون بالأذى ومنه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن العين لتدخل الرجل القبر والجمل القدرة إن العين لتدخل الرجل القبر والجمل القدر يعني العين قد تصيب الرجل فيموت فيدفن في القبر وتصيب الجمل فيشرف على الموت أو يموت فينحرونه وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من يموت من أمتي بعد قضاء الله وقدره بالعين أكثر من يموت من أمتي بعد قضاء الله وقدره بالعين وقال إن العين لتولع بالرجل يعني تتعلق به
You can give 20 dollars. Don't feel shy to raise your hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you and inshallah in few minutes we will make Salatul Isha then after that we're going to have dinner and then inshallah you can present
inshallah الأسئلة كلها سيجاب عنها أو ما تيسر منها في اللقاء المفتوح الذي سيكون بعد العشاء بعد العشاء والعشاء إن شاء الله يعني بعد صلاة العشاء سيكون العشاء وبعد العشاء إن شاء الله ستكون لقاء مفتوحا بإذن الله، سيكون هناك لقاء مفتوح نجيب فيه على أسئلة التي ترد إن شاء الله تعالى ما تيسر منها.
يعلو حالقة يعني الجبل العالي فيتردى من فوقه، وهذا يؤكد أن للعين حقيقة. ولذلك قال العلماء ومنهم ابن قيم الجوزية في زاد المعاد قال لا يبعد، نقلا عن أطباء وعلماء قال لا يبعد أن تنبعث جواهر لطيفة من عين العائن فتصيب المعيون فتؤذيه. وهناك علاقة وطيدة بين الأبتر وذا الطفيتين، وهما نوعان وهما من أنواع من الأفاعي الخبيثة. الأبتر قصير الذنب، وذا الطفيتين أفعى على ظهرها خطان، كنا قد تعرضنا لذكرهما في المحاضرة الماضية. هذان النوعان من الأفاعي قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بأنهما يلتمسان البصر ويسقطان الحبل، قال لأنه تنبعث جواهر لطيفة غير مرئية من عينيهما، فإذا أصابت الإنسان طمست نور بصره، وإذا وقع بصرها على المرأة الحامل سقط جنينها وسبب لها الإجهاض. قالوا كذلك عين العائن حينما تتكيف نفسه بكيفية خبيثة فإن روحه الشريرة، أو أنه يتخلق شر في ذاك الوقت في ذاك الحين، ويتبدى الشيطان، كل اجتماع هذه الأمور كلها يؤدي إلى تلف هذا المعيون، إما بالمرض إما بالشلل إما بالجنون إما بالعاهات إما بالموت، قد يؤدي إلى الموت عياذا بالله. بل إن بعض هؤلاء العائنين حينما يوصف له الإنسان دون أن يرى بعينيه يصيبه بالعين ويؤذيه. وكان واحد من الأعراب يصيب بالعين، فجاء المشركون إليه ليصيب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعينيه، وفيه أنزل الله عز وجل وإن يكاد الذين كفروا ليزلقونك بأبصارهم لما سمعوا الذكر ويقولون إنه لمجنون. ويقول أن هذا كان له خباء، وكان ينصبه على مورد الماء التي تذهب إليه الأنعام، فكان له غلام يقول له هل مرت الأغنام إلى مورد الماء، فيقول نعم، فيفتح جانبا من خبائه ثم ينظر إليها فيقول ما رأيتك اليوم أسمن من هذه الأغنام، فتسقط الواحدة والثنتين والثلاثة، فيقول لغلامي خذ المكتل وهي مثل ما يشبه السلة وجيب لنا لحم من هذا اللحم، لأن أصحابها يذبحونها ويوزعون لحمها، فيملأ المكتل له ثم يعيش عليه ثلاثا، وهكذا يفعل في اليوم الثالث وهكذا. فإذا هذا في كل مجتمع نجد أصناف من هؤلاء الناس يصيب بنا بالعين. وقد يكون الإنسان من غير قصد أحيانا يصيب بالعين، حينما يعجب بالشخص أو بالنعمة يراها على أخيه فلا يسمي ولا يذكر اسم الله غفلة منه، ويتكلم بكلام لا يذكر فيه اسم الله، فيتخلق شر عند ذلك ويصاب المعيون بالعين، كما وقع لسهل بن حنيف وقصته في صحيح مسلم وفي الترمذي وغيرهما. وذلك أن سهل بن حنيف الصحابي الجليل كان أبيض البشرة، فكان يغتسل في مكان مسيل ماء في موضع اسمه الخرار، فمر به صحابي آخر اسمه عامر ابن ربيعة، فلما رآه يغتسل وجلده يعني شديد البياض قال بأعلى صوته له ما رأيت ولا جلد مخبأ، قال له ما رأيت ولا جلد مخبأ، يعني هذا البياض الذي عليك يا سهل ما رأيته على عذراء قد اختبأت من الشمس شديدة البياض. قال الراوي فلبط سهل، يعني سقط في مكانه، أصابه بالعين، لم يذكر اسم الله عز وجل. فهرع الصحابة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا يا رسول الله أدرك سهلا فقد لبط، يعني صرع. قال من تتهمون؟ قالوا عامر ابن ربيعة مر به فقال كذا وكذا، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علام يقتل أحدكم أخاه إذا رأى أحدكم من أخيه ما يعجبه فليدعو بالبركة، يعني فليدعو له بالبركة، يبرك عليه، بسم الله ما شاء الله، لا قوة إلا بالله، اللهم بارك فيه ولا تؤذيه، اللهم بارك عليه ولا تضره، اللهم اطرح له البركة، اللهم، يعني يتكلم بكلام فيه ذكر الله، يتكلم كلاما حسنا ذاكرا لله عز وجل عندما يرى ما يعجبه من أخيه. ثم أمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عامر بن ربيعة أن يتوضأ، فتوضأ وغسل مغابنه وهي مواضع العورة، وغسل رجليه وجمع في إناء وصب عليه، فقام كأن لم يشكو بأسا، كأنما نشط من عقال. فهذا هو العلاج الرئيس في من أصيب بالعين، أن يؤخذ من أثر العائن، فإن لم نعرف فنأخذ على غلبة الظن، وإلا فيقرأ عليه بالرقى الشرعية ويقرأ عليه بالآيات والأذكار. وقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعيذ الحسن والحسين من العين، يقول أعيذكما بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. وقد ذكر الإمام ابن قيم الجوزية 10 أسباب يندفع بها عين سحر حسد الحاسد عن المحسود وعين العائن، وذكر منها الإخلاص لله عز وجل، وتجريد التوحيد لله، والتوكل على الله، والإحسان إلى الحاسد، وذكر منها الإحسان إلى الخلق عموما، وذكر منها تقوى الله عز وجل، وذكر منها الدعاء والتوجه إلى الله عز وجل، والأذكار والأوراد الشرعية إلى غير ذلك من أسباب يندفع بها عين العائن وحسد الحاسد، وقانا الله وإياكم من شر ذلك.
إن الحمد لله. In the last section discussing the effects of what hasad and its evil effects upon human beings, in the most apparent, both physical and spiritual way. Starting off, he said, clearly without doubt, among all the creation of Allah has created upon the earth, among peoples and nations, there are no greater people that had the evil characteristic of hasad than the Jews. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alluded this in the Quran. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in translation, remember that from the people of the book, there were those among them who turned from the deen because of jealousy among each other, because of hasad, bainahum. So verily, because of the hasad, they left the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among them were the people of the book, particularly the Jews. And they possessed this quality in their thinking of the superiority among all other nations into this very day, from the very beginning and to that, until this day, and after into the day of judgment. This is their characteristic that's most singularly apparent upon them, both from the Quran and apparently among contemporarily and today's time. In Al-Madinah, Al-Manawara, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews, who already in their books expected a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the prophecies that mention that they will arrive a prophet from them that would end the internal blood feud and bloodshed among the Aws wa Kharraj, the two tribes that existed in Medina from before times, that were constantly in feud and causing much bloodshed and trial. And they were, of course, expecting that prophet from Bani Israel, from among them. And then no other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatam Nabiyyin, the last of the prophets sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came from none other than the Bani of Ismail, from the lineage of Ismail, which caused them no shortage of hatred and jealousy and dissension, and caused plots and trials among the early Muslims from the earliest times. But verily, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to complete the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his word, even though they just hated it. So verily, this is one of the early parts of the disease that came from these people, and they are again the origins of this type of disease which caused the effects of what they call ayn, or the evil eye. And the scholar said in relation to evil eye, it's a very outward effect of one who has jealousy among something else. Envy is not just an internal affair, but when it becomes apparent and becomes juxtaposed, juxtaposition that is transferred from one person to the next, then this is what they call the ayn, or the evil eye. The scholars have said that if a person looks at something with desire or amazement without mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this effect is transferred from the sight to the person or the thing that you, which upon you have desire. and verily the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, Ayn will enter so much upon a camel that he ends up being in a Ayn, by looking at the, by having an envy on even a camel, can reduce him to becoming nothing but a piece of meat on a pot. So the correct translation, again, the translation of the meanings from the Arabic, is that looking with the evil eye is just as an effect of trying to put a whole camel in a pot, trying to squeeze down all that which is good out of it into something that is very minuscule. And again, many people, among the diseases of the evil, people die mostly from ayn. And so much so that we see it in the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ related upon the jinn or the evil effects that are upon people because of this disease of the evil eye. In a narration that we mentioned yesterday regarding to the type of snake that the Prophet ﷺ said, among those snakes that are jinn and those that live within the houses are forbidden to be killed, he mentioned one particular type that has two streaks down its back that is the one that is should be killed for the evil jinn. And this evil jinn, in another narration of the Prophet ﷺ, this evil snake, when it glances at you or has an effect upon your eyesight by causing blindness, or when it looks upon a woman, it causes miscarriage. It causes a woman to drop her baby. So therefore, this is a reality. This is not just an internal emotional affair. This evil eye has effect upon the body and the minds and the spiritual composure of the person that is affected and afflicted. So therefore, it should be protected against particularly this type that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people, unfortunately, have the ability to transpose ayn upon another without even intending it. They have the ability to caused harm through the affliction of ayn from their looking, from peering on these things that they wish for or have a regard for something, even though they do not intend to do so. And they are those who are the ones who are impressed or desire something without mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it. In a narration of one of the times during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the companions, first name I didn't have, but from bin Hanif, he took water, Sahal bin Hanif, he was taking a bath and taking water from a leather water bag. And this type of leather water bag is a special stitched bag that's used to carry water with. And while he was taking the bath, another Sahaba, Amr bin Rabi'ah, came and said, I have not seen such a beautiful bag in my life and its design, because the way the sunlight hit it and it sort of gave off a very light and white color from it and impressed him so much. Then Sahal bin Hanif fell down immediately. Self fell right down, affected by the ayn, because he looked upon this thing with desire and didn't mention anything of Allah's name. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ with the afflicted person and said, verily he's been afflicted by your evil eye, your ayn, because of your desire for it while mentioning Allah's name. So he said, anyone who desires a thing, do not kill your brother, do not hurt your brother by looking at it without mentioning anything except for something from barakah from Allah, meaning do not look at anything except that you mention some of the good things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mentioning His names or His attributes upon it. So therefore, those who want to prevent themselves from the affliction from ayn, they have to mention Allah's name immediately. When they see something with desire or when they look upon somebody, always mention Allah. This is a protection from that. And in those who are indeed afflicted, there are many cures to this through, again, recitation of Quran, ruqya, recitation of Allah's and the verses and the things that Allah has prescribed for that. And know that among the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a specific example of this, in a dua that he taught the people, he said in Arabic, "A'udhu billahi min kalamati tamati min kulli shaitanin hamati wa min kulli ainin ama." Then lama, kulli ainin lama, lama, and that means I take refuge in Allah from the perfect word of Him, which is the Quran, from every shaitan that is afflicted, and every ayn that is affected, that's been transposed or touched upon a person. So this narration of the Prophet gives us a specific example of the hadith and the dua that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should remember at all times that we should, whenever looking or thinking of anything that we desire, human being or otherwise, inanimately, we should always look at it with a favorable eye of mentioning Allah's name and His bounty, and remembering that, and keeping that being a barrier and a prevention from the evil that may afflict us or them, and that we may unwittingly cause the harm of others, and always remember, refer and revert and return to the Quran of Allah Ta'ala in reciting His names in all places and times to prevent it from the evil of those that are unseen.
عين بسبب الجن وعين بسبب الإنس، يعني عين إنسية وعين جنية، والعين الجنية أشد فتكا بالإنسان من العين الإنسية، بل قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها أشد من النبال أو السهام، يعني أشد وقعا وثقبا في جسم الإنسان من وقع النبال. وعين ما كان، فعلى المسلم أن يتقي العين بالأذكار والتعويذات والأوراد النبوية، وأعظم ذلك الإخلاص والمعوذتين وخواتيم سورة البقرة وآية الكرسي إلى غير ذلك من الأذكار التي علمنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن نستعين على حوائجنا، على إنجاح حوائجنا بالكتمان كما أوصانا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. يعني إذا كان الإنسان يعرف أن حوله بعض الحاسدين لا يصرح ولا يحدث بما أفاض الله عليه من النعم، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث، هذا لأناس لا يعرفون بالحسد والعين. أما من كان يعرف بالحسد والعين وأن عينه حارة مؤذية، فهذا يكتم عنه الإنسان النعمة التي تجري له وينعم بها عليه، من قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: استعينوا على إنجاح حوائجكم بالكتمان فإن كل ذي نعمة محسود. استعينوا على إنجاح حوائجكم بالكتمان فإن كل ذي نعمة محسود. فإن بعض الحاسدين يتأذى حينما يرى النعمة على أخيه، ويحاول بكل وسيلة أن يحول بينه وبين الوصول إليها، وأن سواء كان بالنميمة أم بالسعاية أم بالوشاية أم بالإيذاء القولي أو الجسدي إلى غير ذلك. فإن لم يستطع كل ذلك، فربما آذاه بعينيه الذي تسبب له أمراضا. ومن ابتلي بالعين يعني كان عائنا، فعليه أن يتقي الله عز وجل في إخوانه، وعليه أن يذكر اسم الله، وأن يبرك على كل خير وكل نعمة يراها على إخوانه، لأن بيده سلاحا فتاكا، فإن استخدمه ضد المسلمين فهو آثم بلا شك. عليه أن يذكر اسم الله عز وجل قبل أن يتكلم بأي كلام قد يؤدي إلى أذى وضرر للآخرين. ولذلك قرر العلماء أن العائن إذا عرف فإن الإمام أي السلطان يأخذ ويحبس في مكان منعزل ويطعم حتى يموت، يأخذ ويحبس في مكان منعزل ويطعمه حتى يموت لئلا يتأذى الناس بعينيه. وإنني لا أعرف أناس، إنني أعرف أناس يصيبون بالعين من شدة عينهم يصيبون أنفسهم. أعرف واحد نظر إلى المرآة فأعجبته نفسه، قال: ما أجملني اليوم، فوقع في الفراش 40 يوما أو قريبا من ذلك. وأعرف وسمعت عن رجل أنه نظر إلى أولادي وهم يأكلون فتكلم بكلام لم يذكر اسم الله، فناموا من ليلتهم فاستيقظوا وقد جن بعضهم وشل آخرون، وبعضهم مرض بعاهات كثيرة. فإذا على المسلم أن يذكر اسم الله وأن يبرك على نفسه وماله وإخوانه. لذلك كان نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم يستعيذ من العين، هذه العين التي ما يخلو منها مجتمع ولا يخلو منها مكان. فعلينا أيها الإخوة أن نستعين بالله وأن نعتصم بالله وبذكر الله عز وجل من حسد الحاسدين وعين العائنين، وأن نتبرأ إلى الله من هذا المرض الوبال وهذا الداء الخطير، لأنه هو داء الأمم الذي أهلك الأمم قبلنا. ونسأل الله أن يعافينا وإياكم من كل الأدواء والأوباء، وأن يصرف عنا شر الحاسدين وعين العائنين، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
JazakAllah khairan. The end and conclusion and discussion of the evil effects of the evil eye and envy and the effects thereof, must know that among the characteristics of the evil eye, there are two distinct types of the evil eye. There's Ayn Jinniya and Ayn Insiya. That is, that's which is the Ayn that differs from the jinn, and Ayn that affects from the human beings, that is transferred from human being to human being. And there's no doubt the greatest effect, in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest harm and effect upon a person is a nubble. And that is the effect of a evil jinn that affects a person. And therefore, the type of ayn that's most destructive and most harmful to the person is that which comes from the unseen. And these, again, through the same roots that we have mentioned earlier, through the desire and amazement and adornment of that which you desire without mentioning Allah's name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet ﷺ have given us the bounty of those things that eradicate and prevent these type of affliction from the ayn, and the most difficult of them from the jinn. And that, of course, is increase the recitation of the Qur'an, reciting the Mu'addatatayn, the last two surah, Surah Al-Falaq and Nas, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Kursi, and everything else. We have already mentioned some of them already here. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down for His cure and for His protection from being afflicted from that. And also another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, don't, one of the aspects from the sunnah is not to go around and displaying your adornment. Do not go around explaining for show or for vanity reasons, for the things that you may possess that others may wish to possess. Therefore, the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, that which you find beautiful and enjoyment in, keep it in undercover. Do not expose it. Keep it, hide that which you most desire. Because if you expose it to the people, then people will desire it all and leave you more open for the evil eye. So one should be modest and should refrain from prating about that which they may have out of vanity, whether it be physical beauty or from that which is their physical possessions. These are the things that the Prophet himself alluded to in terms of keeping undercover, concealing that which may cause people to be amazed about. And always, again, remember Allah's name when you meet your brothers. When you come into contact with your brothers in Islam, when you look at each other in the eye, and when you meet each other and greet each other in your places of meeting, always remember Allah's name in these periods, especially in these times, because this is a time when the gaze can cause evil effect. This is the things that can cause the evil eye. And of course, when you begin any statement, or when you end any sitting, before you meet, as you meet and when you part, should always mention Allah's name over that. And in your places that you occupy, the places that you live in, do not expose and make it a vainglorious thing that people will again be attracted to those things that you possess. And also you yourself, he mentioned, that you yourself, many of the disease of ayn comes from yourself. It's not transferred from anybody. You yourself are the one that causes the ayn to come upon you. It's not just for somebody else, or a second party, from a jinn or a human being. It can also come from yourself. So therefore, in your own homes, avoid spending much time in front of the mirrors. Don't stand in the mirror too much. He gives an example of an incident where he knew a person who spent too much time gazing at himself, and he said, oh, how beautiful I look, without mentioning Allah's name, and he ended up sitting in bed for 40 days afflicted by the ayn, the evil eye. And another case, a person who looked at his children out of pride and joy and saying how beautiful his children were without mentioning the name of Allah or giving his bounty or barakah upon them, ended up waking up the next morning, coming out of bed, his children, one of them was very, a couple of them were very ill, became very afflicted because of this, and become mentally disturbed. So therefore, these are the real effects he has seen with his own eyes and witnessed to the effects of a person on themselves causing harm on themselves from the evil eye. And the hadith of the Messenger of Allah said, take refuge in Allah from the ayn. Seek refuge from the ayn. So therefore, at the end and conclusion, he says, we have given the equipment, the tools, and the medium to cure ourselves from this very evil, harmful effect. We've been given the warnings from the Quran and the Sunnah to keep far from envy and jealousy and the evil effects there are. And he has given us, above all, the ways of protecting ourselves from the harm that it causes and will keep us from the harm that it may cause, from prevention. So he says at the end, making dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us far and free from this evil effect. May Allah protect us. May Allah and keep us knowledgeable about this so that we can keep ourselves prevented from this in our families and our homes and our possessions. And that we seek Allah above all, as He is the protector of all from all things seen and unseen.
InshaAllah, now if you have any question for the Shaykh. First, when you ask a question, please be brief in your question, raise your voice, and inshallah we will translate the question for the Sheikh. So the first thing, be brief, not a long question, and also raise your voice so all of us we can hear. And if you want to ask, raise your hand please, and then we give you the... نعم يا Raise your voice, brother.
One more time. Is it halal or haram for what?
If it is haram for a believer, male or female, to seek if they have any evil jinn upon them, an evil spell upon them.
هل جاهز أن بحث عن في أنفسهم في هذا المسعد العين أو من الجن؟
هل جاهز؟ هناك أعراض يعرف بها المصاب بالعين. هناك أعراض يعرف بها من كان أصيب بالعين، بعضها حسية وبعضها معنوية، يعني بعضها يظهر أمراض محسوسة وبعضها يعني يكون هناك ألم، وسواس، خوف إلى غير ذلك. بعض هذه الأمراض يظهر كلف، ما يشبه الكلف في وجه الإنسان، وبعضها يظهر صداع، وبعضها يظهر اكتئاب وخوف وتردد ووسواس وعدم توفيق وعدم قدرة على اتخاذ القرار، يعني يبدأ بشيء ولا يكمله ويشعر بأنه ثم انزواء وانطواء. هذه وأيضا يعني ترهل وتعب ووجع في المفاصل وغير ذلك، هذه من آثار العلم. فمن رأى مثل هذه الأعراض في نفسه وراجع الأطباء والأطباء أعطوه العلاج وما استفاد، فلا بأس أن يبحث له على من يرقيه ويعالجه، بعد أن يتوجه هو قبل ذلك إلى الله عز وجل بالدعاء وتلاوة القرآن والاستغفار والتوجه إلى الله عز وجل بأن يشفي ونعافي.
The question again related to the permissibility of inspecting yourself or for the possibility of being afflicted with this evil eye in particular. It said there's two basic types of these afflictions and the characteristics of symptoms. Those that which are actual physically present, that's actual physical, and those that are manawi. That means you may have those complaints, but they're not physically or transposed by something that's actually touched you. So therefore, in order to differentiate them, we have to first see what the symptoms are. Among the symptoms of the evil eye, they include hearing whisperings, waswas in your thoughts, in your worship, in your dreams. Also, even the physical transformation or transfiguration of the features of the face. Facial features change in attitude, whether it be the eyebrow, the eyeball. These are also noticeable changes. And the habits, where before they were doing such a thing on a regular basis, you find their pattern very abruptly disrupted. But from sleep patterns, work habits, and those things that they do in worship, these things, especially marital relations, these are all of a sudden, by no outside causes that are apparent, these are all symptomatic of the evil eye. So what does one do? Well, if they have any one or the more of these type of afflictions or symptoms, they go to the doctor. And the doctor inspects them to see if there's any physical origin to any of these complaints. And if there is, and they treat it, alhamdulillah, they're cured. On the other hand, when...